You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. First of all, before we get into it, we heard our great producer Dave DiNatale, Dino, say it during the Sports Center at the top of the hour, but the Pro Football Writers of Association, they have released their all-NFL team today. The Cleveland Browns placed two players on that team, Josh Gordon and Joe Thomas, and then on the all-AFC team, the Browns had five: Gordon, Thomas, Alex Mack, Jordan Cameron, and Joe Hayden. The Browns with the second most teams on the players on the all-AFC side. Kansas City was first with seven. Denver, New England, San Diego all had two. They were all playoff teams. The Dolphins, however, also had three and did not make the playoffs. So, again, more honors pouring in for this team, and that was from the Pro Football Writers of America. Now, Vic and I have told you we are going to give our honors or our critiques, as it were, depending on how it all shakes out here, I suppose, for the Cleveland Browns as we get into our position-by-position review of the season and hand out our grades. Vic, we're going to start with the quarterback position. It's the most important position in the National Football League. We all know that, so we're going to start with that position there. The Browns started three quarterbacks this season. Jason Campbell, Brandon Whedon, Brian Hoyer, obviously, were the ones who were under center for the Browns. So I will let you decide which quarterback you want to get into first. But that's basically, that's where we're at here. We start with the quarterback position and those three taking snaps for the Browns this year.
Sure. I think I want to start with probably in chronological order as the season unfolded. So and because the investment that was made in him. Brandon Whedon, the investment was, of course, the 22nd overall pick of the 2012 draft. And I think in year number two, this is really not going out on a limb or any kind of breaking news, I think he proved that this is where it ends for him, as at least as a Brown. Now, does it continue somewhere else? I don't know. So I'm starting with that as a place. His final rating, his quarterback rating, 70.3, completing 141 of 267 passes, completion percentage 52.8, 9 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. And it was the year that saw him, of course, have a thumb injury that caused him to miss some time, and then a concussion that caused him to miss some time. But overall, I think it was performance that was lacking, that just was never there, even though remarkably with all three quarterbacks, the one thing I want to say is it's remarkable given that they had three quarterbacks and given that there were six different starting quarterbacks in games, that how the Browns ended up ranking 11th in the league in passing overall is astounding.
Led the league in pass attempts too, I think.
Yeah, they did. Right. Yeah. And I mean, but 11th in the league, just as a sheer number is impressive. I mean, just productivity was there. And so I start with Brandon, and I'm going to give him, you know, I'm going to give him a failing grade. Obviously, it's if we're doing this with A through F, he gets that F because it just never went to another level that it needed to go. And I know there were some elements that maybe worked against him, but I thought he had the best of coaching with North Turner, with Rob Chudzinski. I thought he had an offense that would allow him to thrive. And it looked like just during off-season workouts, the real disappointment is it looked like some of those strides were being made and some of that connection was being made, but then it never followed through in the season. And I think the single biggest problem and disconnect with Whedon and the coaching staff came down to his inability to make this offense understandable to him, to process things the way he needed to process them. And it was a source of frustration for coaches as well as for, I'm sure, Brandon Whedon. And it just never, you never got the sense that he embraced being the quarterback leader that he needed to be.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Brandon Whedon. I'm not going to give him an F. I'm going to give him a D. I think that he did do some good games with Josh Gordon. I thought he played well at various times throughout the season. I also thought he played very poorly at times. I thought he did a good job against Buffalo in that game. I thought he had a couple good moments in other games against Jacksonville, against Pittsburgh. there were some flashes, and he still did have, you know, the best arm of the team. He still had the ability to get the ball down the field to Josh Gordon, create big plays. Really, that kind of Pitt-Jacksonville back-to-back where Gordon went over, he went over 200 yards. Those were his back-to-back 200-yard games. That was a good stretch for him. That was, I think, the best you could hope for out of Brandon Weeden there, where he was actually completing a decent percent of his passes against Jacksonville. Three touchdowns in that one. But you're right. He's not the leader. He is not the guy off the field that you would want to be the quarterback in terms of that presence in the huddle, that command. He graded out negatively at a variety of grading sources. Wasn't actually the worst graded quarterback on the Browns. We'll get to him later, according to Pro Football Focus, but was second there. And when you go into the numbers for Brandon Weeden and really get into what it was about Brandon Weeden, why did he struggle so much this season? To me, you know, it was the slowness in the pocket, the slowness, the time getting rid of the football. I thought that that's where he really struggled. Took about this year 3 seconds for him to get rid of the ball. Right about the same amount of time, really, as Jason Campbell. But took too long for him to get rid of the football. He was not good under pressure, as you might expect for a guy who struggles to get rid of the football. Makes it take a lot of time. His accuracy percentage under pressure this season, 50.8%, lowest on the Browns. His sack percentage this season, 23.5%, highest on the Browns. 38.2% of the time under pressure. Again, highest on the Browns. His completion percentage went under pressure. Not his accuracy percentage. That takes away throwaways, etc., and drops. His completion percentage under pressure, 28.2. Absolutely abysmal. So to be an effective quarterback in this league, you need to be able to handle pressure. You have to be able to get the ball out of the pocket quickly to mitigate pressure when your offensive line may or may not be overmatched. He was a decent deep thrower of the football. That I will give him. Completed about 40% of passes more than 20 yards in the air. Same, actually, as Brian Hoyer. They were the two best on the team in that category. But again, 3 interceptions, throwing the ball deeply. Just wasn't his, it seemed an offense that, we said this at the beginning of the year, which is why I think the grades are as harsh as they are. The offense was built to suit his skills, and we said if he's not going to be able to throw the football successfully in this offense, you wonder what offense will Brandon Weeden fit in. I'm not sure, so that's why he gets a D for me. I don't think he will be back as part of the Cleveland Browns in 2014.
No, and all your points are spot on, and I think we're saying the same thing and in terms of what he is or isn't. And I think that slowness of release, slowness of delivery, all that pacing issue, a lot of that goes back to processing. A lot of that goes back to having the mindset and the ability to grasp and understand what is being fed to you from the coaches in terms of plays, and then understanding those well enough that even if you, and I've had other quarterbacks tell me this, sometimes just the partial, if you're dealing especially with a noise situation, the partial, you hear part of a play coming through your headset and your helmet, you know the rest of it. You can take it from there. You're not waiting for the whole thing to digest and then think about it and then figure out what you've got to do. You don't have that kind of time. And I just, as I understand it, that was a big, big issue with him. And then the other thing, again, I can't emphasize enough, is owning the position and being that leader, that leader of men. The head coach has to be a leader of men, but so does the quarterback. And, again, the examples of greatness that we are seeing right before our eyes in this postseason, we're seeing some dynamic quarterbacks with their ability to lead their teams. It is not a coincidence that the AFC Championship is going to be decided by the two best leaders maybe who have ever played the position, right up there with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. And that's part of, I mean, they've got a lot of other things going for them. And yes, they're in a place that most quarterbacks may never get to, but they're in that rare air space. But there is something that you can have to get you in a place where you can have success. And that is truly be a leader, truly buy into the position of what quarterback means, being the CEO. And I said this from day one with Brandon Weeden as a rookie, and it continued, I think, to be a problem for him. The baseball mentality never left his head. The years that he spent as a pro baseball player, I think, undermined his success as a quarterback because there is a singular thought. You're much more internal in your thinking as a pitcher, especially. You do have that sense that you've got a lot of pitches to get to and a lot of games to play, and you could be less urgent about things. And he never broke out of that to realize in football you only have so many passes and only so many games. It's a very urgent mindset, and that others around you look to you for the guidance, for the trust. And it's not, I heard him say as a rookie he just didn't feel comfortable with that, but honestly, I don't know for Brandon's sake if it'll ever get there. It's just the way he's hardwired.
Right, and I think it's one of the things you pointed out. It has held him back a little bit and may, you know, continue to do so. This was an offense that was really set up for Brandon Weeden, I think, to thrive and had a lot of success, and that, as we all know, was not the way the season played out.
No, it was not. So we are going to move on with more of our assessments. We broke it down with Brandon Weeden. We're going to take on the rest of the Browns quarterbacking position and, again, conclude with our thought of what's next for each of these players at that spot. We'll also get into the running back position in the remainder of the show as well. It is CBD, Vic Nathan, ESPN 850, WKNR.